Good to be at the house of the Lord again this morning. Someone said at this age it's good to be anywhere. But I thought about thinking about today, came up with a story that many people think at 80 years old that your life is pretty well gone. But I want to think this morning just for a minute that I've got a future. Might be 80 years old, but I've got a future that's greater than anything that I've ever had in the past. And that's because I know Christ is my Savior. And one of the great things of His love is that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Glad to be always to be back to Elkton. Someone asked a while ago if we was going to move back up this way. It don't look like it, but this will always be home to us. And I say that with gratitude. I was thinking yesterday, the first times that I came to Elkton to church was not in this building, but in the old building that's been gone for a long time. Real high ceilings, and they was really uptown. They had gas lights. They hung down on real heavy wires from the ceiling, and I don't know how they got up there and light them. Maybe there was a way that they came down. I don't know. But I remember the little pumps that they had that they would pump that gas light up with to work. And if you didn't remember them, then somebody didn't get it up against your arm and hit it real hard and blow your arm up. You don't know what I'm talking about. That was always the thing. Lendl's kind of grinning. He's probably been there. It's good to be back with you and good to see each one of you. And the feelings that we have for you and with you, and as Norma has commented in the past, the reason that we came to Elkton Church is because of the feeling that we've always had coming here with you as individuals and as a church, the feeling of the warmth of your love. Not for us, but for the Lord that shows from day to day and from Sunday to Sunday and time to time. Though we all have problems in our lives as far as physical problems, we can look past those things and know that we have a great physician that is our doctor, and that as we said, will never leave us nor forsake us. One that is far greater. You know, we look at all the troubles and sorrows of this land and country today. I recently got a book, and it says Billy Graham quotes. And I'm not going to dwell on his quotes too much this morning, but there's many things in that book that he states that is different, as Joyce was talking about, of the different things that has changed over the years. But yet, God says, I change not. His love is as much today as it was in the day when He formed the earth and said, let there be light, and there was light. The grandpa talking to his little granddaughter and said, God said, let there be light. And he turned the switch on and she said, Grandpa, he didn't have electricity. That was always the thing when I was a boy. We lived over by Collins and REA's coming. REA's coming. We got there the 1st of November, and we left the last of December and moved to town. They'd have power for years. But that was a great thing when you got away from a kerosene lamp and turned on that one light hanging down on the wire from the ceiling. We really thought we had things going big. one of the first things that my folks got at the time was a little air conditioner, a little fan, probably a 6, maybe 7, 8 inch fan. And it turned back and forth, and once in a while you could feel it. And this summer we complained about how hot it's been, sign in front of the church, one of the church's signs that I saw, and it says, "You think this is hot?" And but enough of that foolishness. But we do remember, and I would not say anything new to you this morning, but in remembrance of the things that we have and of the things that God has given us, the things that God has done for us in the past, and know that He is the same God today that He was in those days. Because as a boy of 11 years old, an old preacher preached to me about 3 Hebrew children went into the fire. And all that night, it was an evening service, and all that night I was afraid to go to sleep, because the only thing I could see was that the king came down there, and he looked in and he said, "I see 4 down there." Well, I could see 4 in there too, but it wasn't the Lord, it was me that I could see my own face in that point in time. And the next morning, I couldn't make it past my grandma's rocking chair and went down there, and in a little while on the stack of wood behind the stove, the Lord saved me. And from that day to this, He's been with me. Not always followed Him as He wanted me to follow Him, would like me to follow Him, but always that I knew that He was there. And when I needed Him most, He's always been there to comfort. And that's the reason I have a future today, was because on that day several years ago that He prepared me and gave me a gift that I could never repay, and that was the gift of eternal life. And I want to, just for a minute this morning, from the 10th chapter of John, read to you just a little bit. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and is not a shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and flee. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." We sometimes get to a point that we think that we're the only group that knows the Lord. But remember that there's other folds of other elsewhere across the land and country in this world that know the same God and the same Lord, and have the same assurance in their heart and the same warmth of love in their heart that comes only from Christ. But he said that there would be a time that they will be of one fold and one shepherd. That day is coming. And we look forward, and somebody said, well, we've heard that all of our life, that the Lord is coming back to this earth. Yes, he's coming back, and you look back into the Testament, into the New Testament, and those men that have walked with Christ, they were looking for it in their lifetime. They were looking in their lifetime that he would be back to be with them as they had seen him go away. And the scripture says that he would come back in like manner. Oh, what a day that will be when he comes back. But I want you to be just for a little bit to realize that some of us won't be here when that day comes. But we'll be with the Lord, and when that day comes, we'll come back with him. Of all the burial plots and all the things that we do, we put them in a casket and put them in a concrete box and seal it up. There's going to be a day coming, a great day coming, when that box won't hold but will be a new body coming back. When the Spirit comes back with Christ in that day, there will be a new body. I don't know what it looks like, but I'll be known as I'm known. I don't quite understand all that or comprehend all of it, but this I know, that when he comes back and we'll be joined with him, and he comes back and brings us back in that manner, it will be a great body, and it won't have any pain or sorrow, and it won't have any a few weeks ago I was pulling a cattle panel and it hit the end of my big toe. And a week or so later, the nail was completely loose, and I went to the doctor with it after it was starting to turn black, the toe as well as the nail. And I don't know what that little piece of cloth that he had, a purple piece of cloth he had, but he rubbed it across my toe, and I'm sure glad he did. Because then he hooked onto it with a little pair of pliers, and I said, do you want to keep this for souvenir? Just that quick. Now, and whatever it was he put on there, there wasn't any pain there. He took it just that quick. I guess, and somebody said it was kind of like losing your baby teeth. Seen people put strings on their teeth and what have you, and try to pull them, but somebody said something about a quarter for the tooth fairy brought. I was lucky if I got a couple of pennies, and the times have changed. He said, I am, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. We hear today that the courts in that day went to a great length to talk about all the things that was done wrong in the courts when Christ, before he went to the cross. What they forget is the fact that with the prophecies of the Word of God, some 400 years prior to that, they couldn't have changed one bit of it. They might have prolonged it maybe a few days, but it would have still been the same thing. And listen to what he said, I lay down my life that I might take it up again. On the cross, as he hung there in that agony and that pain and that trouble that was there, yet that he laid down his life in that hour. They didn't take it from him. He freely gave it. That was the reason that the scripture says that Jesus said that that's what he came into the world to do, was to lay down his life that I might have life, that each one of you might have life, and more abundantly. He is that brother that sticketh closer than any brother, that in the midnight hour or the time of sorrow or trouble comes in your life. He's one that is there, steadfast and sure as only he can be. We read the 23rd chapter of Psalm so many times that he leads us beside the still water and makes us to lay down in green pastures. What is that saying? That he gives us a place that we can drink of a freely of life that is calm, and that we can eat of the things of the bounty of his world that he has put in this world for us to have, that it, those things come from him and him alone. And day after day, are we appreciative, and do we thank God? Every day should be a day of thanksgiving. It should be set aside as a day of thanksgiving because of the great things that my Lord and my God did for me on that cruel cross. No, he's not hanging on the crosses. We see many places that we see the crucifix hanging there with him. Thank God he's not there. He's not on that cross. They took him down from it. He went into a tomb. And the angels came and rolled the tomb back. They were clothed in white clothing, and they rolled that stone away. And they said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And because he is not here, but he lives again. And I love that song, and we sing once in a while at the services only when we think of it, and that is, "Up from the grave he arose." Thank God he arose that we might have that opportunity to rise with him one day and to live. I have, because he arose, I have a future out there. Paul said, with all the troubles and trials that come his way, was nothing to compare with the joy that he would be in when death comes, the death angel comes and takes this soul out of this body, and this old body crumbles back to Mother Earth from whence she come. But thank God that one day this body will be reunited with the soul that lives within it. I don't understand how that he takes a little handful of clay and will bring it back in a great body that he will. But that's God's business and God's promise to me, and I believe his promises because of those things that I have tried him and tested him in over the years. He's always been there as he said he would be. And then I want to go just a little further. "Therefore that my Father loved me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again." Now listen. As the things that I've just commented about, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. "This commandment have I received of my Father." Now this is Jesus himself talking and telling us, and he was talking to those of his followers in that day. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. Thank God that he does, and that he in those things. And it said, the scripture said, "There was division therefore again among the Jews at these saying, and many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" This world today is saying the very same thing they were in that day. They were saying that those that do not know God are saying it's stupid and it's foolishness of that. We hear just recently, we hear of a comedian that made the comment that anyone that thinks that God talks to you and has a head problem, and they have a problem that they need to see a psychiatrist. I wanted to tell you this morning I'm thank God that I've got a head problem then, because I know where my Redeemer stands and where he lays and where he is today. And I know that he is the power that in the beginning said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And we see almost every day we see the sun. Sometimes as it is today, it's clouded, overclouded, and we don't see the sun, but it is still there. It still comes up and goes down reasonably near the same time every day. Could you think and believe that if it was up to you and I, we'd oversleep some morning and not get the sun up when it should be? And look at all the turmoil and confusion it would bring about if we done that. Because people that looking to those things. These are not the words of him that hath the devil. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can the devil open the eyes of the blind? This is just a little while after a blind man that was by the road, and he stooped over and made a spittle in the clay, in the dirt, and put it upon his eyes and told him to go and wash in a pool. And he went, and he told him what pool to go to of Siloam. And he went there, and when he washed, and people said, oh, it didn't happen. And they asked his folks, they said, is this your son that was blind from birth? And they said, it is him. And they said, well, what happened to him? And he said, well, he's of age, you ask him. And he said, I know not who he was. And at that point, he didn't know who he was. But he said, what I do know is that he made that clay and put it upon my eyes, and I went and washed. I done what he told me to do, and I went and washed, and I can see now. Yes, it's a miracle that he could see. And my God is the same God today he was in that day, that he has the power to give light to the body through the eyes. He has the power to give us life beyond the shadow of the grave. Yes, this body will go back to that. For most of us, will go back. There'll be a day when it won't at all. That change will take place in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. As a boy in music class in grade school, we sang that song of Charming Billy. Can she bake a cherry pie? And he said, yeah, as quick as a cat can wink his eye. Where'd that come from? Back of memories of days that's past and gone, and a long time ago. One of my cousins' husband said, commented one time, that one of the worst things that happened to the human race and to kids growing up were safety razors. Now, I don't know whether you remember what he was talking about or not, but hanging not too far from the wash pan was a razor strap. And if you don't know what that was used for, the old straight braid razor, he would go on there a few times, but it had other uses too. I can tell you from experience. And I know what he was talking about. But this is thing, and the reason he done it, that one man told me, he was talking about the hurting the parent more than hurt the boy. And the boy spoke back to his mother and said, well, if it's hurting you that bad, why don't you just lay off and not do it? And he said that was the wrong thing to do, because she done it. He thought she doubled it. Why do we think back of those things? Because the times have changed. And why? Someone asked me, why are we having so much troubles today? Maybe it's because we have forgotten some of those corrections that we got in days past and gone. It may be that the correction, someone told me one time, not too long ago, who was it, Dr. Spock, that had the book out of how to raise kids and how to take care of them and not correct them, basically, was what he was saying. The correction of a parent because of their love toward their child. The correction that God gives us today from day to day is because he loves us. The correction that he sent into the world because the world was in darkness and he sent light into the world. I love that song as you sang a while ago, Send the Light. That is part of the thing. That's what God did back many years ago. He sent the light into the world. And we sing of it today. And maybe we always remember that it was God. It wasn't me that turned the light switch on, but it was God when he said, let there be light, and he had the power to make light. And he has the power today to make life in the souls of anyone. When he's dealing in your heart's door, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." When he's knocking, you can open the door to him and he will come in. If he's not knocking, don't worry about it, because you're not going to get in. If he's not knocking at your heart's door under conviction, you're not going to get in, because he's not knocking. But when he knocks, you listen and you hear. And it would be, someone commented, and this is what I wanted to think about also this morning. To his children, to his disciples, and about 120 of them, followers of his, went into a room just after he went away. They witnessed him as he went into a cloud and disappeared. And an angel of God came to them and said, "Why stand you here gazing up into the heavens?" That he will come again as you've seen him go. He had already told them to go and tarry until he came with power. And what did they do? For a period of about 30 days, there was a prayer meeting went on in the house. A prayer meeting, and there were some women there. There were the scripture says about 120 people there. And they had a prayer meeting. And what happened at the end of that prayer meeting, they had the greatest thing that ever happened to this world was when he came back into this world. His spirit came into the world on the day of Pentecost. And somebody said, "Well, that's when he brought in the church." No, I'm talking about a church that was praying of about 120 people were praying until God endured them with power from on high. And the things that happened on that day, there was on their shoulders as it was a flame of fire licking at their shoulders. Why? Because today, can we be on fire as God would have us to be? I read that John on the Isle of Patmos said on the Sabbath day, he was in the Spirit. Can we be in the Spirit? Can we feel that Spirit of God today that as we did remember the day as we think about memories? Can we remember the day that you were saved? Can you remember the day just in those days that what you felt in your heart and how you wanted to tell everybody about it? I couldn't wait to get down to the old man that had preached to me the night before. I couldn't wait to get down and tell him that I've been saved. Why? Because now he didn't save me. And come down to the fact that he had done what God wanted him to do. And this is what each one of us need to realize and respect God for, is this. If we'll do that, that God would have us to do, however little that job might be, that God will bring forth the increase. We can't do it. You know, as we, the scripture speaks of a grain that you would put, of a seed of grain that you would put in the ground, that it must die in order to sprout and bring forth much increase. Today, the only thing we can do is put the seed in the ground. If each one of us would put that seed that God would have us to do, and then be in prayer as those people were in prayer, those 120 souls was in prayer, and that day there will be a great harvest come. There will be a revival across our land and country today as we have never heard of today. I heard just a few days ago that there was a revival in our part of the country. What was it? 9 souls saved? The comment was that we don't hear of that too much anymore. We don't hear that enough anymore. That because God is the same God today he was in the days of old when I was saved. In the days that men preached to us about the gospel. Today is the same God today that he was then. And he wants to save the soul of anyone. When he knocks at that door, heart's door, he wants to save. Can can we be in prayer? And may our prayer be for the lost of our community, the lost of our kids, of our grandkids, and of our great-grandkids, God would be and touch their soul. I say that today because we have a great-grandson in the Marines that's going to Japan in the next few days. And I think back at the days that my brothers was in the military, of the days during World War II when mothers would get together and pray for their boys that were in harm's way. Have we forgot those people that go to our home, go in the military today and go into harm's way? Have we forgotten them, or do we pray for them and for their mothers and dads and their wives and their husbands as they leave, have to get on the plane or the bus or whatever to leave? Can our prayers be with them, that knowing that God will answer those prayers? The prayer of a mother did not go unheard. The mother, I remember much a house that used to be up just south of where Ron lives today. There was a mother that lived there. Her son went in the service the same time my oldest brother went, and several others from this part of the country. And up across the road from him was a mother that had two sons in the service at the time. And the call came in the middle of the night from one of the mothers. And she said, "Would you come and help me pray for my boys?" My dad asked my mom, said, "You want me to go with me?" And she said, "No, I'll walk." So she walked a little over a quarter mile up to their house. The next morning at breakfast, he said, "How did it go?" And she said, "Our boys will come home all right." And every one of those boys lived to be several years after they came home from the service. Why? Yes, a mother's prayer. God will hear the prayers of mothers. They hear the prayers of dads too, but for some reason, moms might be just a little closer. The prayer of a person that will reach out to God, because Christ is that God. And I want to, just for in closing, thank you just for a little bit, finish up what he's talking about. "But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Now listen, we hear people say today, "Oh, I believe that you can lose your salvation." You listen to the words of Jesus Christ, my Savior, when he said in the 28th verse of the 10th chapter of the book of John, listen to what he said. "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than them all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's house hand. I and my Father are one." What more do you need to the very thoughts of your of this life as you practice and go through this journey of life than to know that take you with all the trials and troubles you might have, to know that there is no man able to pluck you and your soul out of the hand of the living God? How great a promise it is. What greater promise does any man need than to have that promise in their heart and to give thanksgiving to God that he is one that will take us and guide us and lead us from day to day when we ask of him? And
I think of the song of the footprints in the sand, that the answer come and said, well, there's places there's not any, my footprints are not in the sand. And he said, my child, I was carrying you then. Oh, my God is one. The way gets too rough, he'll pick us up and carry us. My little daughter, when she was little, when she'd get out in rough and she was on the ground, she was all right. But when it really got rough going, Dad, would you carry me? Oh, today, that every little girl and every little boy would have the Heavenly Father that would carry them from day to day. May we be always in prayer and thanksgiving to God for what His Son did for us and what He will do for others if we'll ask of Him. If we will ask of Him. Oh, I thank God. After this, the Jewish people, because of it was against their beliefs and their thanks, they took up stones against him just from what he said. Oh, but those stones never, though he bled and died, yet he lives today. And because he lives today, I can live. And I have a future not made with hands. I have a building over there, not made with hands. I don't know how big that mansion is. Don't really care. Don't know exactly where it's going to be. That's all right, because anywhere that I'm with Christ my Lord will be heaven to me. Somebody said, well, where is heaven? We think of it as being up, because he went up into the heavens. And he'll come again, that where I am, there where he is, that I can be with him forever. He gives eternal life. And no man, regardless of how powerful they might seem to be, no man in this world that's ever been born nor ever will be born again is able to pluck them out of his hand. And I'm one of his child. I'm one of his sheep, because all he hears, and I love that old song, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. That's our feeble message this morning. We just pray that God would take it and use it as to his glory, to his honor. Not to anything that would be glory to me, but may it be to God's glory and to God's honor, that God, Christ being glorified and the Father being glorified, that each one of us would look to him, and that we might be constantly in a prayer meeting. I remember somebody said, well, look how dry it is in our areas today across our land and country. I remember a year we were building a church building in Wheatland, and you could take a pick, a big guy, Louis Clance, you remember, a big guy would take a pick and drive it maybe an inch or inch and a half in the ground, because that old hard pan was that dry and that hard. But we hauled water and poured in there overnight, and the next day he might get another half inch deeper. But in the time, oh yes, they argued over the moon whenever it was setting up there, whether it was a wet moon or a dry moon, you notice according to the shape it was in. But I also remember people coming and praying that we might receive the rains, that it might sustain us. And God has always given us the opportunity. And when we come to him in faith believing and ask of him, he said he would give. And he, that promise today is as great today as it was when he made those promises. Come unto me and I will give you rest. May God bless each one of you this morning. And as we said a while ago, we thank you for your love and your support. And I want to, just for a minute, to Dennis, that I didn't get to be here at his ordination. And but my prayers and thoughts, because I've known Dennis and Pat all their lives. And appreciate to tell you, Dennis is taking up his cross and following him in the church, and my prayers would be that God would help him day after day, as well as the other deacons, that we not forget any one of them, but or anyone else, because every one of us have something to do in the service of the Lord. If we'll listen to it, if you say, "Well, I don't know what my job is," the reason you don't know is because you haven't talked to the Lord. Because He will talk to you and let you know. May God bless you is our prayers this morning.